Grace to you and peace from the one who makes and creates and redeems all things. Amen. All three of our lessons today seem to have something to do with sacrifice and choices. In Deuteronomy, Moses says to the people, "I have set before you this choice, life and prosperity, death and adversity. And if you obey the commandments of the Lord and you do all that the Lord has said and walk in his ways, then you will have life and you will be blessed. But if you don't," even Paul sort of gives, a choice, right? I was thinking about, this is sort of like a politician, right? Look, I'm going to give you this choice, but if you are wise and you love the Lord, then you will do what I ask and even more. But I'm not going to tell you you have to do it, but you really probably should. All about choices. And then the hardest of the three lessons, I think, comes in the gospel. Jesus has moved from being inside and giving wisdom to now being outside. And as he walks along, the large crowds are all around him. And they are following him because of all of the good things that he has done. And he turns to them and delivers this line: "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." And then he has two stories about counting the cost. Well, if you think, that's kind of nice. I didn't think the Episcopal Church was quite that close, but it's nice. Think of the many times in your life that you've had to count the cost. What if you had known what it would cost you? We watched a movie recently, which I don't know, maybe you all have heard about, Tomorrowland. Have you heard of this movie? Thank you for the blank look, because I was like, it's a George Clooney movie, so I naturally assumed everyone knew about it. But the basic story is the world is coming to an end, but nobody knows it. It's all the problems that we have now are all happening. The environment is going to heck, and there's war and all these kinds of things. And it turns out that there's another dimension where they've been sucking up all of the artists and all of the people who have some hope and thoughts and getting them all working on a solution. And George Clooney invents, in this alternate reality, a machine. And this machine has the ability to look into the future. And as he looks into the future, he comes to find the exact day and time that the earth will cease to exist. The point at which we become overcome by pollution and war and everything else, and the earth simply ceases to exist as we know it. As he looks forward, he becomes filled with despair. No one can fix it, he thinks. So imagine if you had such a machine. If you could peer into the future before you took that job to find out how well it was going to go, or how hard they were going to work you, or the fact that you wouldn't get a raise for the next 5 years, would you take the job? What if you could look forward into the future in your relationships? Wouldn't that be awesome? You could determine right away, this is not going to work out. But we don't have that kind of machine, and so we live in this world of taking risks. Years ago, when we all started having children in my family, my little brother, who found children, we started asking, "Well, when are you guys going to have kids?" And he said, "When we can afford it." And we all laughed. He was thinking to himself about counting the cost. What will it cost to have a child? And I have to tell you that if everyone sat down and tried to figure out how much children cost, there would be no children. The cost financially and emotionally and the loss of freedom, just changing of goopy diapers in itself would cease all breeding in the human race. It's horrible. And that's why God has not given us a machine to look forward into the future. And in a way, as we listen to Jesus, it seems as if the cost is too high. If it costs us all that we have, our very life itself, and hating our mother and our father and our sister and our brother and our friends and putting all of that aside to follow Jesus, who would do such a thing? Especially since we don't know the outcome or what will happen. But Jesus employs this hyperbole not to scare us off, but to help us to, as it says in the text, sit down and count the cost. I laughed because it said, the part where it said, for which of you intending to build a rail would not first sit down and estimate the cost? Oh, no, tower, to see whether or not you had enough to complete it. Sorry. I am not talking about Honolulu Rail. How could you say that?
Because you said rail.
I'm shocked. I would never bring that up. But it's the same kind of thing. You see, if we had to sit and count the cost of everything, if we just take a moment and think about what our discipleship costs, it would be really hard to justify it. And yet, this is not about counting the cost and running away, but in seeing in that cost hope. I have to say that over the years, my children have cost me a fortune. Just Seth's tickets alone, I could have bought a house for. But I would not give up that child for anything. It's not a matter of balancing the budget. It is a matter of seeing in the midst of our sacrifice, of our giving away of ourselves, the hope that is given us in God. For in the midst of all of our sacrifice, God continues to gather us to God's self and gather us together in the Spirit that we might be fed and find joy and life even in the midst of death and rejection. We don't go into our discipleship eyes closed. We know it will be difficult. I can tell you because I work here and I know what kind of sacrifices are made by people so that we can be in this place. Financial, personal, emotional, time, hundreds and hundreds of hours and tens of thousands of dollars, actually $489,621 per year. Sorry, Steve, I had to throw that in there. He's our treasurer, right? And for what? To follow Christ. And not for what we get out of it, but for the life that God gives us in full abundance in being a part of that body, which gives itself away to heal the world, that shares itself with those most in need, that seeks to be transformative and transformed. I think that's what Jesus says. If we can't give ourselves up for one another and for the world, if we cannot count ourselves in, well, then it's all for nothing. It's just a waste. But sacrifice is more than serving on a committee or being president of the council for the 43rd time. It's more than just coming on Sunday morning and taking an hour of your time or teaching Sunday school or any of those things. It is about turning oneself over to the God who first loved us and loves us to the end. That is the sacrifice to which we are called, so that we find life. My brother eventually had two children. His wife had him. He's not yet done counting the cost. But I think, like me, we'll find that the sacrifice creates new life. That God's work and God's will continue into the future. That the world might be healed in Christ. And so we count the cost. And maybe we don't hate our father and our mother, but we know to whom we belong, and we give thanks to God for giving ourselves away for Christ. Amen.